This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Joining me on the line right now, Curtis Prouting from the Melbourne Zoo. Thank you for joining us today, Curtis.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, today we're talking about peccaries that look like pigs, but they're very different, aren't they?
Yes, they are very different. A lot of people mistake them for pigs, so they do look like a sort of a small wild pig, but they're similar, but they have a lot of differences too. They're not actually a different family altogether.
One interesting thing I was reading about them is both pigs and peccaries, they walk on only some of their toes. Is that right?
Yep, they've got, well, especially on their back feet, they have sort of residual hooves that aren't really used that much. So the toes on peccaries and pigs are a little different. Pigs are, the bones are more formed, whereas peccaries are, they've got a bit more given things in them.
So, and are they hairy? Do they have a fur?
It's close to hair. It's almost like a very fine quill, a very coarse hair. It's like a almost, it's really hard to explain it, like a coarse brush that's really thick hair, and they have a lot of control over it, so when they are trying to impress or trying to put a bit of fear into the enemies, they'll pop up and their spike or their quills will sort of go up. They're not really sharp, but they can make a little noise and things with them, and they do protect them from a lot of the bites and things, and even sometimes electric fences.
Oh, okay. And they also use their odour a lot, is that...
Yeah, they're very scent-driven, so they actually have one of the things that makes them different from pigs as well. Just up the base of their back, above their tail, they have a scent gland, and if you pull apart their quills or their hair, you actually see it. It almost looks like a solitary nipple on the small of their back, and it actually excretes a really really potent musk kind of oil base, which they'll use to scent mark on each other. So all the little herd of peccaries, they'll rub faces on their backs, and all of them will smell the same, so then they're all one big group together, and they'll mark the areas, and they're very scent driven.
You said musk. Is it a nice smell like musk, or is it not that attractive to humans?
No, it's not a nice musk smell. It's very very strong. It's very very dense. It's hard to explain, actually. It's sort of bit overwhelming, especially on a hot day.
I bet. So when, as a keeper working with the peccaries, do you actually, when you go into their enclosure, there is a bad smell?
You get used to it, and it's not like a horrible smell. It's just a very, like every animal, you can, like when you come around the corner, you'll know what animal's in a cage, even if you haven't been to that zoo before, and peccaries is one of those animals.
Okay.
Just a very strong sort of musky smell. It's pretty hard to explain.
Now, where do we find peccaries in the wild?
Well, there's three different genuses and one species in each genus, and they're all but found in the Americas. The one that we have is called a collared peccary, and it's found all the way up through sort of North America, through Arizona and Texas, down through Central America and down through Argentina. So it's pretty widespread. So they're pretty versatile. They can be found in the deserts, but they also can be found in rainforests as well. So they are semi-endangered, mainly due to hunting. Their fur, also in Brazil for a while, their meat was pretty sought after, and the export of that meat was one of the biggest exports in Brazil for a couple of years there in the 80s.
Okay. Now, they're not one of the most glamorous animals. Do they play an important role in the ecology and the habitats?
Every animal plays its part in an ecosystem. Peccaries, because they're omnivores, they really adapt quite well to anything, and they can feed on quite a lot. Their stomach's set up the same as a pig, so it's got sort of two chambers, but it's a lot more complex, so they're capable of breaking down a lot more. They're actually... like I said, they're omnivores, so they can eat meat, and there is cases where some will even go to hunting. But most of the time they sort of forage. They can feed on anything from insects all the way up in the desert regions where they're really struggling. Prickly pear, the cactus, they'll actually eat the whole cactus itself and pull the quills off and sort of skin it and eat the cactus, and they can survive on that for quite a while.
So at the zoo, what is their food of choice? What do they prefer to eat?
That's a good question. They get a lot of root vegetables and things in their diet. They do like anything. Like most animals, they can sort of sense the protein and the fat in certain foods. So things like nuts, And also sweet food they're a bit of a fan of, but we try not to give them too much because obviously they don't feed on a lot of it in the wild, so you don't want to ruin them.
Yep, so you don't give them any meat at the zoo?
No, it's not a necessary part of their diet. We do feed them some, we'll give them access to bones and things to chew on sometimes in different places, but no, they don't get a meat portion in their diet. They have... there are certain things we'll give them that have similar protein levels and stuff, though.
Tell me a little bit about the breeding program you've got at the zoo.
Well, peccaries is one of the unfortunate animals that sort of got left behind in breeding programs throughout Australasia. At the moment, there's only one male who's capable of breeding, and we have him here at Melbourne Zoo. And we have pretty much all the peccaries in Australasia here at Melbourne Zoo. So his job is to sort of reboost the breeding program and try and get it back throughout the peccaries throughout zoos in Australasia. And he's done all right so far. We've got one new little piglet that's doing okay, and hopefully we'll have some more after the summer's over.
So when did you start? How long's he been at the Melbourne Zoo?
Well, there's been a lot of shipments of recent time, but he's been pretty much at Melbourne Zoo most of his life. Just the females that we have brought in have come from places like Taronga and other places like that.
And is that basically because those zoos have just not been sustaining their breeding programs for the...
Yeah, they just... it's hard to know what happened exactly, but it's like they've been forgotten a little bit. And because no one was focusing on them, a few of the other males who were, you know, they even thought they were safe, and they had a few shock, either deaths or, you know, even ones that were expected. And then it sort of snuck up on everyone, I think, how quickly they got to this situation.
At Melbourne Zoo, you've obviously got animals from habitats that are all around the world. With this hot weather that we're experiencing this week, is that going to cause trouble, not just for the peccaries, but for, like, animals, all the animals you've got there?
Yeah, there are, like, obviously there are animals who come from other climates, but most of them have been born into zoos. For example, most of our, in our breeding programs are throughout Australasia mainly, so that most of the animals are from somewhere in Australasia, so they're used to our climate a little bit, but I don't think even if you do put up with this kind of thing regularly, you're never used to it entirely. So some of the animals do have adaptions for it, but that's where keepers, we sort of play our role, because obviously in the wild they have choices of where they could go, whereas in captivity we try and get them as much shelter. We have cooling systems like misters and things. We give them access to off-limit areas where they can take shelter. We do pretty much as best we can, and then they try and do as much as they can. Most of them have fairly good adaptions though, and they tend not to do much on days like today. We try and plan around that.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having a chat to us today and letting us know all about the hot weather and the peccaries as well.
No worries.
You're listening to All Natural with Adam Merrily on Joy 94.9.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.